Yo, welcome to the Time's Yours podcast. I'm Spike Eskin.
I'm Chris Johnson, and on the phone,
I'm Lee Russica.
Hey, two quick important announcements regarding the podcast. First of all, the Amazon.com advertising is now done because Lee made me feel bad about it, so it's gone. But the other thing is that coming up sometime within the next week, and there will be plenty of notice, and you'll get a podcast notice about it, is that I have to switch podcast hosts because the old one was bad, and the new one will be good. But to stay subscribed to this, you're just going to have to, like, it's a quick 2 or 3 step process where you're going to have to do a couple things. So just be on the lookout for that.
In the meantime, click on the Walmart link on the right side.
Dick. I'll have you know this costed me an extra $170 that I won't be getting 4 cents at a time through Amazon's affiliate
program.
Wait,
you should bring Amazon back.
No, I'm not doing it.
All because of the podcast last week?
Well, no.
Or did you have a separate conversation with Lee?
No, I didn't have a special. It was just because he was like, come on. I'll give you the money if it's that big a deal. So, and it's one of those offers that, like, that isn't even a real offer. It just makes you feel bad. It's like when you're at dinner and you order jumbo shrimp and there's 4 of them on your plate and there's somebody else at the table and you go, do you want to try one? It's not a real offer. There's only 4 shrimp on the plate. It's essentially the sort of offer that Lee made, but that's coming in the next week. I transferred all the old podcasts up there, but I just have to. The iTunes switchover has to happen. So there you go. One thing that I thought of after the game yesterday that I got bummed out about an hour after the game is sort of how when we look at the games. Remember a couple of years ago we did like the game by game predictions like before the year. And it's all sort of, unless it goes off the rails like it did last year, the NFL in general, and maybe it's just because we watch the Eagles, but it feels so predictable. And the more, the longer the week went on last week, like this game felt like such a predictable, at least struggle, if not a loss. Like the more and more I thought about it, I'm like, this, if there is a trap game, this is, and certainly there are deficiencies everywhere, and we'll get into all of them. But coming off of, I was looking at how confident DeSean Jackson was after week one, how confident LeSean McCoy was after week one. I'm not blaming them for anything, but how high everybody was. And then with the Andy Reid game on Thursday, it was just that San Diego, everyone just in the line and everything was just screaming. And I know my official prediction on the podcast was a win, but as the week went on, I jumped over to dangerous, 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 and it's so predictable. Everything feels so predictable.
But because it was so predictable, and everybody was talking about how much of a trap game that it was, because everybody was saying, oh, this is a trap game, they're looking forward to Thursday night, don't you think that kind of nullified it because everybody was talking about it?
No, for some reason, that never nullifies it, though, right? Everyone always talks about trap games, and then trap games still exist.
Yeah, because I don't think you can, like, I think the mental thing about a trap game is something that you can't, it's like it's embedded. It's not like it's not a conscious thing. It's like a subconscious thing. And I remember in the hallways last week, Ike was, hilariously enough, Chris, you mentioned a lot of people said it was a trap game. I didn't hear anybody really saying it was a trap game. Everybody said, like, I heard it, for as far as predictions, I thought I heard like 98% Eagles last week. But Ike was the...
Yeah, but that doesn't make it not a trap game.
But if you're saying... You know how like when I was saying that when Lee said it was 5-11, that was everyone else saying mm-hmm. it was 7-9? To me, everyone saying it's a trap game and a win is like nobody having the guts to say it's a trap game and a loss.
See, I guess I'll take it one step further and say that I feel like I heard a lot of trap game, win, and blowout.
Yeah.
And that I felt like it was going to get knocked back to just a close win.
Okay. Well, Ike was saying, when we were talking in the hallways and Ike says it's a trap game, and Ike was like, you know, like trap game is something I didn't even know, you know, from afar exists, but when somebody there, you know, who played said it was a trap game, I don't know. It's just, there are a million things that suck, but that was a loss from a mile away to me. Lee,
I think what we saw, it was so far beyond a trap. I agree, it was definitely a trap game. But the problem is that this, you know, this team is exactly what we thought it was. It's actually, and I think in a good way, you know, because the defense is really, really bad. The secondary is even worse. But the offense didn't even play that well and put up 30 points. So I think there are positives you could take out of this loss, even though, you know, everyone was high and expecting this team to go into Andy Reid 2-0. It didn't happen. You know, you're right. This is the NFL, and the NFC East is so bad that you were going to lose one of these two games, and it just happened to be the one.
That is the other thing that I thought was, you know, previous to the season, and I'm always shocked at how surprised I am by the lack of perspective by Eagles fans. I don't know why I'm so surprised by it, but I always am. But afterwards I said, hey, we thought the Eagles were going to be exciting on offense, score a bunch of points, but not be able to stop anybody. And did we lose Lee? There he goes.
Lee.
Well, I mean, his...
It's getting bad anyway.
Let me tell you something with iPhones. Let's have a little discussion about iPhones for a second here. Because every time, I'll call Lee back in a second, but every time I post a screenshot of a text conversation I have, and it's obviously an Android, some iPhone dick face always says something like, yeah, you know, why aren't you using an iPhone? Blah, blah, blah. You got to step your game up. I hate iPhone people.
Why do people
iPhones.
Care what kind of phone somebody else has?
It's the weirdest thing. Isn't it strange? Isn't it like I can understand.
I'm the only one who cares about what kind of phone I have. I don't care what your opinion is on my phone. Enjoy my phone, and I have an iPhone, and
right,
I enjoy
and you
it.
Like it, and that's it.
And I don't have a whole lot of long conversations on the phone, so I don't know if it drops out all the time.
Yeah,
when I need to use it, I use it. I don't care. It's such a
strange thing. I can only understand interest in somebody else's phone if you're curious. That's all I can understand. Hey, you have a blankety blank? What's it like? I was thinking of getting a phone. You know, I don't like my blankety blank. Do you like your blank? That's fine. You know,
I feel like Android users are now hating the fact that there's going to be a new iPhone. And they're like, oh, well, the only thing it changes is the color and the screen size. Oh, you mean, so you're getting mad at a company for creating something that's very similar to what they already have that they know they're going to make billions of dollars on. And you wouldn't do the same thing if you had X company?
Well, all of this is started by iPhone. It's started by Apple people.
No,
Apple people start everything.
I'm not judging Android or iPhone users. I don't care. But it's just that I don't understand why
the whole conversation.
I don't,
so,
yeah, yeah. Who cares?
Well, I care. Because
just get a house phone.
Least stupid. Yeah, I'm going back to landlines. All right.
Only landline.
Yes, only landline. You're going to have to. Somebody's going to say, hey, can I call you later on? It's like, well, I'm leaving the house at 7, so you're going to have to
leave
me
a
that.
Message on my answering machine.
Yeah. With the cassette. As
yeah, yeah, of
mini
course.
Cassette.
Yeah.
All right,
beep.
We'll try Lee again. All right, we have him back again, Mr. Team iPhone himself, Lee Russikoff. Yeah. Yeah, well, okay, what were we saying? Oh, yeah, 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 back to they are exactly what we thought they were going to be. I mean, it is sort of uncanny. And some of the good things, too. So before the, what do you want to do, good or bad first? What do we want to do here?
Let's do bad. It's a loss.
Okay.
Then we can finish up good, positive.
There we go.
Chris, you take the second half of the podcast.
Thanks,
yeah, yeah, we'll just leave and let you go.
All right.
Nate Allen, I mean, first of all, if you ever want to look for a reason why there are, as we've learned in baseball, there are certain statistics that can lie, right, in baseball. And one of the ones in football that can lie is tackles, as Nate Allen had 10 of them yesterday. But all of them were because the guy caught the ball right in front of him or after him. If you want to look, and Nate Allen gets trucked at least once a year, but if you want to look at the definitive Nate Allen play, it is him getting trucked and drugged for 6 yards and still getting called for a 15-yard penalty. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got to cut him today, right? I mean, they can't play him anymore.
Oh, they can't cut him. There's nobody
out
there.
Yeah, there's no one.
It's somebody.
No one.
You can't cut. I mean, I wasn't going to go as far as cutting him. I was going to go as far.
All right. So here's the deal. We were recording the podcast. We noticed that we had missed 3 minutes of it because it stopped, and here we are again. You might notice Lee sounds even better than he sounded before. Lee?
It's true. I'm here.
There he is.
Better than ever.
Lee's now on a landline. We may repeat a thing that we said. We may miss. There was gold in things that never got recorded. So
it was all gold.
It was also so good. We solved every problem. So we were talking about how bad Nate Allen was. I don't know if I touched on that Kerry Williams wasn't that good, was actually pretty bad. Everyone in the secondary was bad. I'm not sure if Patrick Chung played. We did mention that Brandon Boykin looks like, I hate to, like, we mentioned it, but Brandon Boykin looks like he's at least a player. He's a rotation cornerback. But the biggest problem, as we were saying, and we'll say again, is, well, maybe not the biggest problem, but you can't cover if you can never get to the quarterback, and the Eagles didn't get to the quarterback at all last year. Trent Cole was playing like it was the second half of the year already.
That's low blow. Do you think Namdi and DRC are available?
They're not, actually. You'll see DRC in a few weeks.
Oh yeah, that's right. We played
in Denver.
Right.
You won't see Namdi.
No Namdi this year. Let's just say it again. I know this is painful because we already said it before, but the way that they were getting to the quarterback in the first half of week one was there was a ton of blitzing going on. Especially on third down. And the most disturbing thing about the third down blitzing on Sunday, and they did try it. He did try it. I mean, I'm curious to see how many times, but he tried it, and they weren't able to get to Rivers. It seemed like Rivers had forever, even when the Eagles were blitzing. So that's a scary thing moving forward, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Rivers did, and again, I don't know what we caught and didn't, but Rivers did whatever he wanted to do whenever he wanted to do it. He whatever receiver's first option was always open, and they hit in stride. They didn't mess with the timing of any of the San Diego plays. And it just was way too simple.
The thing that I thought about too was, it's always funny when people talk about like exciting and rebuilding and blah, 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 blah. And even if we knew intellectually coming into this year that the Eagles defense was going to be bad and we're like, yeah, but it'll be exciting and they'll score points. There is nothing exciting if you don't win. Like, it's not, there's nothing exciting. Like, it is.
I still think the game was, it was an exciting game yesterday, but it's the week after that that is disappointing.
Yeah, the minute it's over,
yeah,
there's nothing exciting.
Yeah. And for that entire week.
Yeah, and there's nothing fulfilling about an exciting team that loses, I don't think. Lee, I don't know if you feel differently, but I'm not.
I mean, I think I feel a little bit differently this year because I don't think it's realistic to expect this team to win. I just don't see the pieces on the field. And again, if anything, I'm encouraged because I think there is a scheme here that can work, at least offensively. Defensively, I'm not sold on Billy Davis at all. I think they were way too predictable, and there's, you know, and maybe we're a little spoiled by the Jim Johnson like blitzes out of nowhere. But defensively, I think we need both players and some different schemes. But offensively, you know, while it wasn't at the same breakneck pace, it also was because they didn't seem to have the ball at all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you saw that in time of possession at the end. I mean, they just, if you can't get the ball back, that's going to be, and there is a possibility in the second half, like the defense was already bad and were probably exhausted. Yep. The Eagles scored rather quickly when they scored. It wasn't like there were like extended drives. They were huge strikes, and there could have been a couple more actually if Jackson managed to get his other foot in bounds on the sideline and got his fingers on that other bomb down the middle of the field that they didn't.
Have you seen some of these quotes that Tim McManus got from the Eagles defenders about the defense and them complaining already about Billy Davis?
No.
Philip Rivers just seemed to know everything that we were trying to throw at him. That's from Kerry Williams. DeMarco Ryans, ready for this one? D'Amico Ryans, I'm saying even worse.
Wait a minute, I can't believe Kerry Williams is being outspoken about something.
They understood some of our calls or whatever was going on. It looked like he knew exactly what we were calling. Oh, this is still Kerry Williams. I'm sorry, it is still Kerry, of course. What D'Amico was calling to a degree. He knew exactly what we were in to a degree. It was unfortunate. Sometimes you get outwitted. Sometimes you get outplayed. I think today was one of those days.
Wow. I mean, they can't do that.
Already, it's game two.
He can't do that.
Look,
here's more, by the way. Connor Barwin, we fell into it, showed our hand early, which I'm sure we'll look back on tape, and say we should have figured it out early and stopped showing what we were coming with. That's from Connor Barwin.
Right.
It was a totally different offense. Redskins were running offense. We shut them down. We kind of had to switch gears, and we didn't do as well stopping the West Coast offense. Blah, 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 blah. So, wow. No, there's no way they're going to cut Kerry Williams. He makes too much money. They're never going to cut Kerry Williams. I mean, look at what it took for them to cut Jason Babin.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
You know? Kerry Williams is not even halfway there to Babin. I can't believe he said that. That's unbelievable. I mean, first of all, it's a pretty big indictment, I think, on what Davis is calling. But Kerry Williams can't call out his coach like that. That's, you know, I'm sure he'll say that he wasn't meaning to call out his coach, but his coach is calling the defense there. I mean, defensively, they're like, and I don't know how this is going to change aside from players sort of adjusting to their roles.
Two turnovers inside the 10, which is huge when you look at the score in the end. It could have been. There could have been another 14 points on the board.
Yeah, the Matthews fumble was Boykin catch him from behind, right? And mm-hmm. the one there. I mean, the disturbing thing there is that the Chargers had driven to that point.
Yeah,
too.
But I mean, years ago you talked about the Jim Johnson defense, and it was the bend but don't break, and the Eagles broke a lot yesterday, but they also got those two key turnovers that really kept them in the game.
Yeah, there's two ways to look at that, and it's a half glass empty way. Like, yeah, they forced the turnovers, but two, had they not, they lose. They give up 50 points, right? So,
yeah,
who knows? I think
they forced the fumble by catching him from behind at the 1 yard line. Like, I'm not ready to. I mean, he went after the ball. It was a nice play, but I'm not ready to take heed in that yet. It was a nice play by Boykin, but I mean,
when the other was Trent Cole.
Yeah,
just putting a good hit. I don't even remember who the good
Spike's
hit was.
Boy,
Trent Cole.
Yeah,
he played yesterday. So over to I'd have to watch back, but I didn't notice much of Kendricks yesterday either.
Kendricks fell down a few times. Got beat quite a bit by Gates. He was on the field, that's for sure.
He was in coverage a lot. I guess when you talk about blitzes, there are two things that I noticed just from watching the game, half at the game and the other half on TV. Kendricks was in coverage a lot and was not blitzing, and Barwin was lined up as defensive end on the ground a lot. To me, those are both guys who should be standing. Well, Barwin should be standing up and blitzing, and Kendricks. I mean, he kept stunting like he was going to blitz, but then always dropping back in coverage. And I don't know if that put him a step behind Gates.
I mean, it's interesting about Kendricks in that he had it. We all thought he played well the first game, and he had 10 tackles. Pro Football Focus had him rated very poorly in the first game.
Right.
I think
this also the site that predicted the game 41-0 for the Redskins?
Yes,
okay,
it was.
Just in context.
Well, but there's a big difference between predicting a game and saying what happened.
Right.
Predicting a game is for fools, you know, like saying, well, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, who can
tell?
Stay
tuned for our prediction.
What's it? Yeah, well, well, I mean, everybody does it. Everybody does it. But predicting a game, I mean, especially predicting week one games when you haven't seen the offense or the defense, but saying what happened is totally different, I think. And remember, it was 20-0 in the second half, wasn't it? Or 20-7.
Yeah.
They said that, I mean, it had Kendricks rated very poorly. And I don't know. Like, it could be, you know, he made plays and he hit guys and he got tackles. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's the
I don't
same
know
as
how well he could he actually played.
It's the same
one.
As numbers. I mean, like you said, Nate Allen had 10 tackles yesterday.
Yeah.
That doesn't
mean
he had a average or above average game.
Yeah. So there you go. Can we talk about good stuff now? You want to talk about good stuff? Yeah. Anyway?
Yeah.
Michael Vick is the third-rated quarterback in the NFL with a 119 quarterback rating. And I don't think he's turned the ball over, right? Or did he throw an interception in the first game? I'd have to look back, but I don't think he's turned the ball over. He had two touchdown passes yesterday.
No, because Avant fumbled. I remember there being one, but it was an Avant fumble.
So, you know, though he it is funny. I'll always make fun of the Foles army and the Vick haters. Who were killing him at one point yesterday for missing Cooper once, and both Deshaun Jackson incompletions were inches away, and I don't know who you blame. I always say if the guy can get his fingers on it like Jackson did with the second one, you got to catch the ball. I think he's got to catch the second one. Vic might have put the first one on the sideline a little far right, but overall, Vic has been as good as you could have expected, I think. I mean, I don't know that you could have expected anything more than what Michael Vick has done so far this year.
I was surprised yesterday Vic didn't run the ball more, because that was open. That's the one thing that I've been waiting, because they'll run the pistol, they'll run this read option, and it just seems like every time he's giving the ball off. And you wonder how much of that is actually told to him to protect yourself. You're handing the ball off unless you're sure you can get eight and get down.
Yeah, and he did run out of bounds one time when he shouldn't have, I guess, in the fourth quarter. You didn't want him to.
Right.
But he definitely looked more cautious. I mean, I can't think of, aside from the time where he got body slammed, and we'll talk about that in a little while because that's the Chip Kelly timeout discussion. But aside from the time he got body slammed at the five, I don't remember him taking like any big hits, and certainly no hits that he was responsible for. You know, that you look at, there's always three per game where you get nervous that he's ever going to get up. You're sure he's broken a rib and it was all his fault because he made a bad decision, but I didn't see any of those yesterday.
Yeah, the encouraging thing to me was his decision making. He was he wasn't making bad decisions. He was giving the ball to McCoy when
things broke down.
Every play wasn't going to be a home run play, and I think that's what he needs to understand, and McCoy needs to understand. There were plays where he'd give the ball to McCoy, and everybody wanted McCoy to, of course, go for 60 yards, and he'd get two or three, and that's okay. I mean, that's the way that you have to sustain drives, and that's the way that offenses should run. And then the taking hits at the end of the game, I guess if there's ever a time that I'm okay with him taking those big hits and really putting it all on the line is towards the end of the game when you need to make some plays and you need to put some points on the board.
Yeah, sure. I agree. I mean, you had to be happy with Vic yesterday and I so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's not the perfect quarterback, but certainly he's played as well as you could expect him to play over the first two games.
And you know, you mentioned McCoy. I mean, he went from 31 carries to 11 yesterday, and the run was just not working as well as the pass was yesterday. But
and
he
how
also,
many catches? He had a career high.
Yeah, he had five catches, 100. I was gonna and 114 yards.
Okay.
In the air. So you remember that was what Westbrook was always so great at. You know, when he didn't get rushes, was he got a bunch of receptions? Then I don't think McCoy is ever going to be that guy. You know, I don't think he's going to be a 10 catch a game guy, but. You know, with a total of 170 some yards yesterday and still leads the league in rushing, I thought he was good. There's not much I can say about the offense. I guess
just weren't on the field that much.
I guess the only
and still scored 30.
Yeah, still scored 30 with a couple of opportunities, as Kelly mentioned afterwards, a couple of opportunities left on the table. I think that it's funny to me, the final drive, everyone's saying that they should have, you know, conserved time and they didn't use up enough time. I guess in my head, I don't know that they are good enough, even though they've scored a lot of points. I don't know that they're like Peyton Manning right now, where they're so sure that they're going to score that they can sort of, you know, do it at the pace they want to do it. Yet it almost seems like they're at the point where they're mastering the offense and like they're still feeling each other out. And they had some spectacular plays yesterday, but I wasn't certain. There wasn't a flow to the offense at all. I understand that you want to use more time off the clock and maybe toward the end you have to, but that doesn't seem like a sticking point to me.
No, I don't buy it at all. You want to score a touchdown there because if you left any time on the clock there, you were losing that game. Like the defense wasn't, if there were 30 seconds left, Rivers would take 27 to get into field goal range. Like they did whatever they wanted defensively. You had to score a touchdown there, or the game was over.
Yeah,
but you could have scored. You could have still gone for scoring a touchdown and left less time on the clock. I mean, or at least force San Diego to use the rest of their timeouts there. I just don't see the hurry up. I don't understand the hurry up in that situation.
Well, because
what got them down to them down to that end of the field?
Well, but here's the issue is that the offense is predicated on doing that. Like the offense is predicated on not allowing is keeping the defense on their heels. Like the problem there to me is not that they didn't use enough time. At least to me, the problem is that they didn't score a touchdown.
Right.
They didn't score 7 points. And to me, the biggest screw up there was Kelly not knowing. And he said afterwards, "When here is, do we have a? We do, we do. Here you go. Here is
when Mike comes off Chip for a play. Do you have the option of calling timeout and keeping him in the game?
No.
Well, actually, you did.
Yeah.
So that was. I guess it's not entirely surprising that Kelly never played. Didn't play a ton of close games at Oregon, and just got to the NFL. So managing clock and NFL rules, probably not his strong points yet. But for him to not know that, or for no
Doesn't
one.
Pat Shermer have to be in his ear?
And that's the point. Somebody's got to know that you can call timeout. Like that, getting Foles on the field there was the last thing I wanted to see.
Yeah, no, and think about it, Andy Reid or anyone says that in a press conference, that would be the talk for the next 5 weeks.
Well, it's the Donovan McNabb not knowing that there was a tie, you know?
And we still hear about that.
Yeah, so, he has to know that there. Yeah. And, that could have changed. I mean, that could have changed the game entirely if they score a touchdown there. So that's the problem, is how they scored. And no, I don't remember how they got down there. I don't, Lee, do you remember how they got to the five there? I can actually look up the drive.
I thought there was a big play, possibly to Shady, like a big screen play. But I guess I can look up the drive.
Hold on, here we go. Here we go, Eagles. Vic passed to McCoy. A 70. That was where.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a 70-yard pass to McCoy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And then a couple of Bryce Brown runs, and then the Nick Foles. Nick Foles threw a pass there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. He threw it like 40 yards out of bounds.
Oh yeah.
4 yards out of bounds.
Nick Foles.
I guess all I'm saying is let the clock go down to the 2 minute warning there, and then you have a first and goal, and you can run, I guess, then you can run the hurry up there.
Yeah.
I mean, unless San Diego calls a timeout, these are all ifs, but.
Yeah. Well, you're right, though, Lee. If San Diego even had 4 seconds on the clock.
They were going to score. And I hear you, Chris. I think you're right. I think they should have let the clock run down there. But in the end, I see no way. There was no way San Diego, if they left any time on the clock, San Diego was not scoring at least a field goal. They didn't stop them all day. They were not going to stop them there.
Speaking of field goals, have you ever seen anyone aside from a non-kicker kick a field goal as poorly as Alex Henry missed that one?
Man.
That was so, it was like 50, it looked like it was 50 feet wide. I was looking on the field to see if something, if a streaker ran on the field and distracted him or something. I couldn't believe he kicked it. So it was so far off.
And I'm getting to a kicker here. What did Deshaun Jackson get a penalty for?
Yeah, no one knows. Do you know?
Was it excessive celebration or something?
No, what happened was he got in a fight. Yeah, he said
that.
So when the quarterback goes out of the pocket, the receivers are allowed, the quarterbacks are allowed to push the receivers, including out of bounds. Deshaun said that he thought the cornerback pushed him out of bounds past the play, so he turned around and pushed him back, and that's what he apparently got a penalty for. Although no one saw it, and you have to kind of take Deshaun's word for it.
Yeah, and it certainly seems all Deshaun does this year is catch balls and get in fights.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and I know you sort of have to. I don't know. It's always interesting to me where there is like a guy does 90, like does everything right. And there's one little thing that he does wrong, and it drives you crazy, but it might be the one thing that makes him good.
Makes him happy.
Yeah, you know, like Deshaun has been, I mean, he had almost 200 yards yesterday, 16 catches, 300 yards in 2 games. He was outstanding, and he should have caught those two. But, I mean, guys miss catches, guys miss throws, whatever. He doesn't seem like he can keep his mouth shut at all. And, remember, in the first game, after Hall had the horse collar tackle, he wouldn't let it go.
Right.
And, you know, part of what I think is what making is, I'm glad to see him so excited and into it for a guy who looked like he was out of it, you know, 70% of the time over the last 2 years. But boy, I wish he'd just settle down a little bit, because that 15 yards was even if there's that, you don't get that fumble Ruski play on the kickoff, I'm sure San Diego drives the field and scores anyway.
Right.
But it sort of crushed him, I think, at that. It was harmful, whatever happened. He's got to settle down a little bit with the fighting.
So I guess where I was getting to in that, and this doesn't mean much, but if somebody makes a big play and then runs 15 yards and then slides on their knees, shouldn't that be excessive celebration? Like San Diego's kicker did at the end of the game?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, can kickers get excessive celebration?
I'm sure anybody can get excessive celebration, right? But it was after the game was over, right?
No.
Oh, right, there was 4 seconds.
That
would have
been
left.
Another 15 yards.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are.
Like, if they're so big on not showing people up.
Yeah, and maybe
and
it's
guy.
Because...
Well, isn't in the touchdown celebration is you can't go to ground or something, right?
Yeah.
Well,
maybe they don't count on it with kickers because they're not football players.
Maybe they just thought he was running and tripped.
Yeah,
he's unathletic.
So before we get to Kansas City, which, I mean, I feel like deserves an entire you're going to get two times yours podcast this week because of Friday, because we have another game on Thursday. A report surfaced prior to the Eagles game, and I almost feel like, man, I wish it had happened on Wednesday, and there wasn't like an entire game to overshadow it. But ESPN report, I don't know if it was Mort or Shefty, said that a source, an NFL source, insists that before the 2012 draft, the Eagles could have had Colin Kaepernick for the second round draft pick that ended up being Vinnie Curry. And the reason that the Eagles declined to trade that second round draft pick is that they were sure they could get Russell Wilson with that second round pick. Now, this report is harmful mentally for me in many ways because it involves, like, I mean, it involves either having Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick. I can't even process this.
Would it help you if I say I'm 99% sure who the source is and he would never lie to you?
Well, that question's got to come up.
I hear today, right? Often that Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick were both high on the Eagles draft boards, and that, you know, they were so close, and that the Russell Wilson was the guy they really. I knew Russell Wilson is the guy they wanted, but if they were so sure about him, they should have drafted him around earlier. You know?
Yeah, but they were 13 picks away from getting him, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't that close.
No. Yeah, somebody had some bad information there, and clearly this isn't the same thing because I know it's early, but it doesn't look like he's you know, I'm not totally thrilled with what I've seen so far of Matt Barkley, though it's been early. But the Eagles saw somebody that they wanted this year that was available that they wanted to make sure that they got, so they traded up to the first pick, you know, and they traded up and made sure that they got him. If they were so sure that they wanted Russell Wilson, they should have made sure that they got Russell Wilson. I mean, that's about it. I mean, like, you have to... You have to make sure that you get him. So, wait a minute.
One of the tough parts for this is that Vinnie Curry's not even on the field.
Yeah, he's not even on the sideline, not even dressed for the game, not even activated.
So you don't think he'll be as much of an impact player as Colin Kaepernick?
Unless they're still trying, like, just to not get him hurt so they can trade him for Colin Kaepernick.
Well, and I keep trying to tell myself that, look, okay, here's trying to look at the bright side of things. So maybe the bright side is that if they had traded for Colin Kaepernick, maybe the Eagles would have played well enough last year to save Andy Reid's job, and he would still be here, right? I mean,
But Colin Kaepernick would be your quarterback for the next 15 years.
Oh yeah, so that's the problem, right? I can't. If he'll never answer it. Howie Roseman will not answer this question.
He can't, because he will not lie to you, Spike. He will not.
Kaepernick does not have 15 years in this league.
Why not?
Because he's still a mobile quarterback.
Randall Cunningham played till he was 36.
I don't know.
He did. And he ran around like he was crazy pants. I mean, he did.
I mean, I guess we'll have to wait 15 years.
Well, I don't know. I'd take 10 years. I would take 6 years. I would take 5 years of Colin Kaepernick at this point.
I would take 2 days, Chris. 2 days.
imagine Colin Kaepernick playing for Chip Kelly.
I know.
Imagine Colin Kaepernick playing for Chip Kelly or Russell Wilson. I can't believe this.
But then again, Chip Kelly might not even be
Who
here.
Who is to blame? Someone needs to take responsibility cold on the carpet. Every single one of those stupid.
And the best part about it is, like, this comes out.
You're going to shut off the audio.
Yeah.
This comes out leaked as a source. And, like, the source thinks he's, like, making the Eagles look good in this because they knew that Colin and Russell Wilson were going to be good players, and we just missed out.
Yeah.
But no, you missed out because you decided they weren't going to be good enough to give up a second round pick.
Because you're an asshole. You're an asshole.
Like, plenty of quarterbacks next year.
No. No!
There's another Colin Kaepernick on the way.
Look, here's the only thing.
He only put up 3 points yesterday.
Can I offer another maybe reason why this is not something we should worry about? Is that clearly, Jim Harbaugh did not have any confidence in Alex Smith and was looking for any reason to put in Colin Kaepernick. So is it really believable that prior to last year, knowing that Jim Harbaugh was not confident in Alex Smith, that the 49ers would have traded a second round draft, would have traded Colin Kaepernick. Like, is that really possible? Like,
they didn't have to sign Alex Smith before last year.
Well, yeah, but they needed somebody. That was the thing.
No, but that's what they could have gone in with Colin Kaepernick. The draft was before they re-signed Alex Smith.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, and how much, it's like, obviously Kaepernick had shown them something to the point where, like, they were going back and forth between Alex Smith and him all the next season. Like, yeah, for that, to give up on Kaepernick and the future of what he could be, if you've seen him in practice for a year, you know what he could be. You wouldn't give up on that for a second round pick, would you?
Are there jerseys for football teams or no? They not have those.
Yeah, they have jerseys.
Do they?
They have to.
Will NFL.com or whatever stop me from ordering an Eagles
amazing
Kaepernick one?
I'm gonna get a Russell Wilson one.
You can get it made somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not ordering a jersey because I'm not spending that money. But
you've got T-shirt guys, right?
Yeah, well, my last T-shirt guy is out. Uh-oh. He is on the outs.
Like the podcast guy.
Yeah, my last T-shirt guy like couldn't fulfill an order of 30 fucking Sam Hinkie T-shirts properly. I mean, you figure if kids want to go and order a Sam Hinkie T-shirt, they at least deserve to get the Sam Hinkie T-shirt. Like, if you're gonna get, if you're gonna order an inside joke Sam Hinkie T-shirt, you deserve to get that in the mail, right?
Sometimes supply can't keep up with demand.
30.
I can't handle them not. No, I don't even know how many it was, but I can't handle.
I'm sure it was less than 30.
I don't think it was.
You're telling me there are more than 30 Sixers fans?
Yeah. Well, some people ordered two.
Right, okay.
We're talking T-shirts, not orders. I can't handle the fact that they could have had Colin Kaepernick. I can't handle it. Or Russell Wilson on some level. I can't handle it. It changes everything.
It changes everything, yeah.
Everything. And one quick quarterback thing before we get to Donovan and Andy on Thursday night. Did anyone – I don't watch a lot of college football, but I did watch Texas A&M and Alabama. Did you guys watch this?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't. No. Okay. I saw some of the game.
Okay, Lee. I have a hard time watching college quarterbacks because I think it's hard, you know, sometimes. I watch Johnny Football, and first of all, as a college quarterback, I am – entranced with Johnny Football because he's awesome and he's a dick, which is a perfect.
He's your kind of player.
Yeah, he is right up my alley. I can't tell though. I don't know. You know what I think is funny? College football is because they have that white line or whatever. When you throw a college football well, it doesn't even look good. I feel like it looks like it wobbles more. I know he's undersized, but you know Russell Wilson's undersized too. Is Johnny Football like an NFL quarterback? Because he looks like he is.
I think he's definitely going to be, you know, it's him and Bridgewater, right? But like that play where he just runs around and then just throws the ball straight up in the air like that's not going to work in the NFL.
Right, right.
He's going to need another go-to.
Yeah.
But I think he ends up being a player. Yeah, I do.
He's got swag, man.
He's got swag.
I did hurt my neck freaking out over Colin Kaepernick just now. I don't know if Chris is seeing me, but I hurt myself freaking out over Colin Kaepernick. Oh my God. It's just the worst report to get with the coach that they have. It's the worst report. Can you imagine? And here's the other thing, and then I'll let this go, is that we wouldn't have waited. We wouldn't have had to, if they had Colin Kaepernick or Russell Wilson, when they had the Chip Kelly interview, it wouldn't have been 9 hours. It would have been 45 minutes, and we wouldn't have had to go interview Gus Bradley or whatever. The interview would have ended. Like, as soon as Chip Kelly walked in the room, they would have signed him to a contract.
But
and he would have been just as excited about it, right? I mean, imagine he would be just as excited about the prospect of his offense with Kaepernick.
Oh, my God. He would have to be.
Yeah.
The thing I love about Kaepernick, and I like Russell Wilson a lot, and he certainly won that battle last night.
Yep.
But is there a harder place to play in sports than Seattle in football? Holy cow.
Wow.
But the size of Kaepernick is just, like, physically, that guy is a beast. Like, I still think I'd take him over Russell Wilson.
But the way the game of football is going right now in the read option, and it's not just the pros, but like the college type quarterbacks are translating more and more to the pros. So yeah, it sucks that you miss out on Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick, but I don't think that they're diamonds in the rough, that there's not going to be more guys like that that'll fit Chip Kelly's system coming out in the next year or two.
But that's like saying that pro set quarterbacks were the style and would make it to the NFL, and like it should be easy to find one of those. I mean, it was hard enough to find one of those.
I just think that in this offense, it'll be easier to find a guy who can run around and make decisions.
Then why wasn't it easy to find a guy to stand back there and make decisions?
I think there were plenty of guys who could stand back there and make decisions.
Really? Pocket quarterbacks? Effective pocket quarterbacks in the NFL?
Yeah, there still are.
Really?
Yeah. We saw one yesterday.
Okay. Well, first of all, okay, so name more than five really good ones.
Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
Yep.
Phillip Rivers.
No.
Yesterday.
You don't get to put Phillip Rivers.
Matt Stafford.
In. Okay.
Matt Ryan. Joe Flacco. Like there are
Joe
of these
Flacco
guys.
Stinks, and Phillip Rivers stinks, and like come on, really? That's what we're reaching
stand back
for?
There and throw the quarterback and throw the football, which is what Phillip Rivers did yesterday. He stood back there and threw the football.
AAA defense. I mean, the defense
I don't know,
is
man.
Terrible.
I
think
look at some of the quarterbacks
more
are running
of these
out
guys
there.
In college football that will be able to translate into this game.
Well, sure, but it still means that you want the good ones.
I started this by saying that I'd love to have Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick.
Put it this way: if you could have, if you're starting an NFL team, starting it from scratch, and you can have one quarterback in all of the NFL,
today,
yeah.
It'd be Kaepernick or Wilson.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
Yeah, no, I get it, but I think that you'll see more of these guys in the next couple of years. This next draft class of quarterbacks is supposed to be really good.
Yeah, but okay, I guess.
And if you play like you played yesterday, then you'll be at the top and have the option to have one of these quarterbacks.
All right.
That's the bonus: is that the secondary isn't going anywhere, so you should be able to pick pretty high next year.
I can't believe you're allowing them out of the Colin Kaepernick.
I am not.
I'm
yelling
inside.
I'm not letting them out of that.
Of the Eagles circle, they've been talking about Russell Wilson and Colin Kaepernick and how much they like them for the last 2.5-3 years. If only this has been their if only forever. Like the fact that this just leaked is funny to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Well. At least they can identify them and then not manage to find a way to get them.
Right. Exactly.
But they found a way to get them. They just didn't do it.
No, they didn't find a way to get them.
If it was a second round pick for them,
then they would have done it.
Yes.
Well, then they didn't find a way to get them.
They just didn't pull the trigger on it.
Well, but that's part of it.
That's what
you know where the end zone is.
They identified it.
They wanted Vinny Curry.
For some reason, they just didn't do it. Like, which is awful. Which is terrible. Which is stupid.
Well, but then any team can find a way to do it. It's doing it. That's the problem.
No, I know. I'm with you.
I know how to throw a touchdown pass. I know, like, I understand how it works. Okay, Thursday. Chiefs, it's almost too much to handle. It's almost disappointing that Andy Reid is returning. And it's perfect that they're retiring Donovan's number the same night that Andy Reid returns. But it's also a bit of a disappointment because I feel like this would be two huge things that we could talk about. But instead, it's just one. Lee, I'll ask you, what are you more focused on as in hating both of those men? Donovan McNabb's retirement ceremony or the return of Andy Reid?
I think it's Andy Reid in red, and he's 2-0. Like I think that's the story. To me, Donovan's just worn on me so much, and now especially now he's on Twitter and Fox Sports 1 saying just like, do you think they're gonna punt here on 14? I'm over Donovan. I don't have the energy for Donovan anymore. But I do for Andy, and I think Andy will get a good reception here. I do.
I was gonna ask you if you were standing in the crowd. Lee goes to the game, standing in the crowd, has had three beers,
yep,
three 16-ounce beers,
oh,
but has had a sandwich too, so he's right. Not totally gone. And it's the ceremony beforehand, and they're like, and you know, or is, I don't know if it's halftime or beforehand, whatever the hell it is. They go, you know, the greatest quarterback in Eagles history, Donovan McNabb, and Lee goes,
I probably would just sit down.
Okay. And then I don't even know if, like, let's just imagine the Kool-Aid man runs out onto the field, dressed in red, all in red. Andy Reid returns to the field.
Running out on the field?
Yeah. You know,
do you think they'll give him, like, they're going to give him an announcement, don't you think, returning Andy Reid?
This is interesting because it sort of reminds me to a much lesser extent, as in that there are far fewer people interested. In the Iguodala return, like when he came back, it was the opening game next year with Denver, and I was wondering, like, they decided they wanted to do it because they liked him and they wanted to show him the respect. But like part of the decision to maybe not do it, I know inside the walls of the Sixers, was they didn't want him to get booed.
Right.
And they were afraid that he'd get booed. So the decision for Lurie here is, do we make an announcement with the worry that he gets booed? I think they don't make the announcement because Lurie is too obsessed with new toy Chip Kelly, and it shows up Chip Kelly a little bit.
I think they don't make the announcement, but they do focus, like he will be on the Jumbotron or whatever they call it now. And they'll put an extra couple seconds of him up there to get a crowd response.
I think there'll be an announcement. I do. Just knowing that, and I think he'll be cheered. I do. It's been everyone's happy with Chip Kelly. That's part of the reason, I think, that the people are happy with the way that the new direction that the team's going. I think everyone's in a good place with Andy, and they're ready to move on.
Lee, if I could ask you, based on two Breaking Bads ago, if you had the chance to imagine Andy Reid or Donovan McNabb could be handcuffed behind their back, and you would get the chance to spit in their face, who would you choose?
Can we put other management officials back there as well?
Are you doing it to Howie?
No, not Howie.
All right. Okay. No.
It would be someone who is no longer with the team.
Okay, so
let's put it that way. Yeah.
So obviously Tom Hecker.
Right.
Yeah. Can you imagine? I wish Matt Mack was still with the team and not working, because the Photoshop of Lee as Aaron Paul as spitting in the face of Andy Reid, Walter White would be just. It would be the Photoshop of the... I might have to call in a favor to Matt, even though Matt's sort of retired as far as Photoshops go. I think Donovan's going to get a ton of cheers, and I do think there will be audible boos for Andy. And I don't usually think this. I usually think that there's a cheer, but I think there's going to be audible Andy boos.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really? I would have gone the other way.
No, I think it's a night game, and like I don't know.
People are going to be really drunk.
Yes.
They've already cheered McNabb.
Think they're going to boo?
Yeah.
At a number retirement ceremony? That's asking for SportsCenter. That's asking for SportsCenter. Okay.
My favorite part of this while we're on the fans is as they're carting off Malcolm Floyd, right? And they're like wheeling him to the corner.
Yeah.
The fans over there start cheering, and then all the fans of my I'm on the other side of the thing. All the fans of my side say, "See, we don't have terrible fans. We have terrible fans." Like that's like something to be proud of.
Yeah,
that
to they cheer again.
Yeah, they weren't. Yeah, they weren't booing a guy being wheeled off.
Another quick Breaking Bad thing, Lee. If you had the choice to chain, either
spoil anything from last night.
I won't. Okay. This is like three seasons ago.
Okay.
To chain a Donovan McNabb or Andy Reid up in the basement to a pole and then eventually kill him. Andy Reid or Donovan McNabb?
You're going back to season one. Wow.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
It's Crazy Eight, right? Or Tuco? Or no, it wasn't Tuco. Crazy Eight. Oh, okay. All right. So time for our picks. You know, I thought about offering up. Well, you know what? I'll think about it here. Do you guys want to? Given that we've often said that making the pick early in the week is the worst way to make a pick, do you want to not make picks anymore, or do you want to continue?
I feel like we still got to make the pick.
Okay.
People still want to talk. As long as, you know, look, everyone knows the pick on Monday is not the pick on Thursday.
Real quickly.
Don't bet based on these picks.
Yeah, never bet based on these picks, except it was always the bet to take the Chargers and the points. Always, always, always. That was a no doubt. That was like lock
points.
Of the
yeah.
century.
Yeah. yeah.
I've heard other people went it the other way.
Yeah, Big H, Dad.
I saw Big
Stone
H on the field
cold.
With his beats. I mean, come on,
he can't, Beats by Dre.
You gotta tell your dad to get some like Bose or something. All right,
dude, I'm with you. I don't even know what to say anymore.
I like them. I like the Beats by Dre.
I'm not complaining about the actual headphones. I just think there's age appropriate headphones.
Yeah.
And Beats by Dre are not more.
In fairness,
I like the combination.
He can probably barely hear anymore, so why not get the loudest headphones available, right? Isn't that the move?
Right.
Real quick question before we go to predictions. Lee, imagine they do show Andy Reid on the giant jumbo screen. If that Andy Reid were a real Andy Reid at that size, how much would he weigh?
Oh, we're assuming that he's going to fit on the jumbo.
There you go. All right, what's your prediction?
Loss.
You got to give a score.
Yeah, I got to give a score. Give me Chiefs 34, Eagles 27.
Chris.
I'd love to go with the numbers and see that Thursday night road teams were so bad, but man, the Chiefs look good. I think Andy will really be prepared for this game. And I had it marked as a win earlier when I had written them out in the beginning of the season, but now I feel like I have to go 34-17 Chiefs.
I'm going Eagles again. I'm going 2014 Eagles, and here's why. I do think that the Eagles' offense is difficult to prepare for. And a Thursday night game on the road, when you're traveling on Wednesday, it essentially only gives you one real day to prepare. And I just, I know they have a very talented defense, but on the road on Thursday night, I think is too tough. And the thing about the Chiefs is that, you look at Alex Smith, and he's being Alex Smith, but that means, 5 yards a pass. And I just don't know that the Chiefs can score enough points. I do think that the Eagles can score points against a good defense, and I think they'll find a way to score 20-plus, and I don't think the Chiefs will, and I think they win it.
Well, and the other thing that makes you lean, we all reserve the option to change our minds, but the other thing that makes you think that the Chiefs might be in trouble is because they're not. Are they a 3-0 team? It's one of those NFL things. You eventually are going to lose a certain amount of games. Is this one of those games on a short week against a team that's revved up for you that you just end up losing?
In any schedule thing, I like to look at it in blocks. You look at it. Well, they'll win 2 out of 3 there. They'll win 1 out of 3 there. Yeah, and the Chiefs, I would have imagined, were 2-1 after these three games.
The Eagles too should have been 2-1.
Yeah. I mean, I could have imagined them 1-2 as easily, I guess, as I could have imagined them 2-1. But yeah, I can't imagine the Chiefs being 3-0. I'm with Lee on that. Lee, real quick, I want you to hear something and see if there's anything in this Chip Kelly quote that you take note of.
Couldn't get him off the field. We got to do a better job generating a pass rush.
Whoa. Just in case you didn't hear it.
Couldn't get him off the field. We got to do a better job generating a pass rush.
Oh.
Do you think that's got to be someone in the PR department, right?
Oh, doing that on purpose?
Feeding the line. Yeah, feeding on the line.
He did
say
it.
This.
Well,
see,
he did
see
it
what
last
happened.
Week and this week.
Oh, yeah, he did a better job the day after, last year. Last week, okay. That's the Times Yours podcast. Remember, there is a change coming soon. We'll give you instructions when that happens. And Lee Russikoff wants to spit in the face of Joe Banner.
I don't think I said that.
Hey, one
might have intimated it, but I don't think I actually said that out loud.
There's one more return coming this Thursday night, and that is the assistant secondaries coach of the Chiefs is none other than Al Harris.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Where is Todd Bowles this year, speaking of secondary?
Arizona.
Oh, okay. Oh,
no.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait,
yeah.
Back in Arizona? Yeah. I think he's in Arizona.
Yeah, he's in Arizona.
It doesn't matter. He's not here.
Okay. All right. I can't wait till Al Harris returns. Talk to you later, Lee.
Later, guys.